This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
It's Friday.
And Dave Bourne is singing already because his weekend is about to start.
That's right.
Welcome to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne at KYKN. I like that intro. News that matters and talk that matters to you.
That's right.
That's good stuff. And it is Friday. We got a little liquid sunshine out there. I learned a lesson today. You know, never buy bags of cement, put it back in the truck, and then go into the office for a couple of hours. Because you come back, it doesn't work very well.
It's cement, all solid now.
I may have to, you know, make another round to the store.
Anyway, nice.
Anyway, we got a little bit more liquid sunshine left, but that's all right. At least it's not 28 degrees and frosty. And,
darn right. I'll take rain and 50 any day.
Yeah, anyway. All right. So welcome to Newsmakers. Hey, it's great to have a guest here today. A lot of times on Friday, we don't. We're, of course, going to talk to volcanoes during the last 10 minutes of the hour. But we have a guest, and it intersects with some of the things that we talk about here at Newsmakers. We talk about workforce. We've got guests next week specifically talking about workforce. It is a huge issue in Oregon, in our region, for some industries in particular. It's in the top of mind because people in the trades have trouble finding workforce. People in manufacturing have trouble finding people in the workforce. And now we've got Amazon, you know, employing their first 500, 600, 700 people and competing for workers. And even people who are in food manufacturing and food processing jobs. We've got people in service jobs in restaurants and retail. They're all going to compete for the same, you know, bodies and talent pool. So really important. And, of course, our guest, Tom Suing, by the way. Tom Suing is our guest. Tom Suing Consulting, welcome to the studio.
Thank you.
And
thank
so
you
if you've listened to the story, if you've listened to the show, you know, Brent as governor, you know, the things I would do, I would want to do is raise the average household income of Oregonians, but also to minimize the number of people who have to be on public assistance. It seems like, you know, you look at one side of the aisle and they're like taking pride in how many people they put on public assistance. I'd love to have an economy and a full employment economy and job training programs and all these other things.
Sure, where
everyone
is
to put people to work, because the ultimate goal is to be self-sufficient.
Sure.
And you do that.
I do. I work with a very special group of folks that are eager to work and ready to work and are looking to kind of ride that train that you're talking about self-sufficiency.
So you're an employment consultant, Tom Suing Consulting. You are a job finder.
I am by title from the state of Oregon, a job developer. So yes, a job finder, job developer, job person, prospector, whatever.
I'm sensing a conspiracy. Dave, did you bring this gentleman in just so we could hear this radio voice and I'd lose my job?
I mean, Tom. I didn't audition him, but it is pretty good.
Thank you. It's one of those things where you hear yourself and it's like, God, do I really sound like that?
So yeah. Suddenly I feel horribly.
I say that every day. So.
Suddenly I feel horribly inadequate to be on the radio.
Yeah, you're not.
All right. So Tom Suing, he's got some initials after his name, GCDF and CESP.
Yes.
Professional designation certifications that show that he's been trained to help people and plug them into jobs. And you primarily work with people who have challenges or what was the word I said? They have barriers to entry in the workforce.
Correct. All yes, right. They have barriers, and the range of those barriers is like night and day, and then everything in between, and that's kind of part of what I wanted to address today is that I think that you're talking about the employers and the workforce. I think that the job market out there doesn't really understand what the nature of when you say that somebody is a person with a disability, what that means.
Mm-hmm. Everybody I find in my day job that people automatically go to the wheelchair. You're disabled. Right. It means one of two things. It's cognitive or it's, you know, an intellectual disability or it's a wheelchair. Right.
I
and
think that that's
much bigger spectrum than that.
Right. That's definitely the tunnel vision view of persons with disabilities, for sure.
So let's draw a line so people know what we're talking about of sequence events. And, but we're talking about people that may have case files open with the state, mm-hmm. right, DHS or a state agency, and then they get vocational rehabilitation counseling or something. They turn it over to you so that you can place them in the workforce because they are currently on assistance. Right, they're on TANF.
Not necessarily. Yeah. Those are two separate animals. So the folks that I work with now in my past life, 12 years at Chemeketa Community College and partnership with DHS with self-sufficiency, and then the Oregon Office of Vocational Rehabilitation Services. So these are folks that have a documented disability and meet certain eligibility criteria. To receive vocational rehabilitation services. And so once they are determined work ready, medically stable, I can't, it's kind of outside of my scope of practice to really identify what all the components are of eligibility. But once they're eligible, the counselors there have really done a thorough job in their process in determining that somebody is work ready, and then they farm them out to us based on who they think is going to be a good fit for that particular client.
To the job developer.
That's it.
I'm going to go find a job. I'm going to go find an employer that'll be a good fit for your skills.
Absolutely.
That's cool. That is cool. All right. So I know a few things about this, just enough to be dangerous, clearly. but I do want to know off the bat, what is a documented disability? Who's documenting that disability? Is that a doctor? Is it the Social Security Administration? Who is that?
I'm only going to tell you what I know. It could be beyond that particular scope, but yes, they're usually a medical doctor that documents that disability and whatever the criteria is for meeting that particular criteria is going to come from a doctor, whether, you know, a psychologist or psychiatrist or an MD. I mean, it depends on what the nature of the disability is.
Okay, and I have another question about the same, as far as, and I have some intimate knowledge about this. I've got a family member with an invisible disability, right? And if you were meet him, you would either say he's not disabled, or a scammer or whatever, but he does have compromises, health compromises and ability compromises, but it's invisible.
Right.
When you meet him on a normal day. So how many people are you working with that perhaps say they were born with physical compromises or with Down syndrome and they have intellectual disabilities versus maybe somebody who has had a stroke or had an illness and set them back and they are, to use a PC term, differently abled now than their previous occupation, right? Because some of these people are switching.
Right. They have to shift gears based perhaps on an injury. And a lot of people used to think that vocational rehabilitation meant somebody that had been injured on the job and now they're shifting gears and looking for a different career path. That's part of it too. But to answer your question, as far as, you know, what number, what percentage is this versus that, I mean, that changes on a weekly, monthly basis. It just depends. I always say that question you can answer by asking somebody, how much is a bag of groceries? Well, it depends on what's in the bag of groceries. Answering that question is along the same terms of it depends on what the disability is and who is referred to me at that time. So I may have 50% of my caseload that has, an emotional or intellectual disability, and 50% that has a physical result of a stroke or an injury or something like that. And then you ask me again 2 weeks from then, that percentage may change.
Well, you've been in business for a few years now. Do you think it falls roughly in a 50-50 or a 25-75? Or, I know it changes certainly on a caseload basis, but over time, you've got to, it's hard for...
If you're asking me to just kind of shoot from the hip on an average, I would say that it's probably, I'm going to say 60-40, probably 40% of an intellectual basis, and then 60% of some other nature.
Okay.
At least my experience, speaking for myself, yeah.
All right. I got to work on my communication skills. I apologize. wasn't my question at all. My question had to do with... how many have been that way for their life.
Oh.
And how many may have been worked as a plumber until they're 33.
Yes, you do need to work on your communication skills.
illness, because the difference is it's a natural disability from birth.
Correct.
Versus an illness or accident.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you're talking about lifelong versus just happened or recently happened kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Okay. That really is a good question. I would say, if I had to make an educated guess based on my experience, I would say that the nature of disabilities that I primarily work with are disabilities that have probably onset or have come to light later in life, I would say, that, that have happened for one reason or another, like you're talking about maybe a stroke, maybe PTSD, maybe somebody's been in a car accident and they have, you know, they have, based on an injury, they have an injury-related disability or anxiety or, you know, things like that. So a lot of them onset later in life. I think that that's a pretty good 50-50 split. There are a lot that fall into that category for sure.
Yeah, that's great. And those are some great examples. All right, we're talking to Tom Suing. He's a job developer and putting people to work who need some help and how that serves the workforce. So stick with us. You're listening to Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN, Salem's Listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers proudly brought to you by Sylvan Learning Center.
And welcome back to Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. And in our studio today, this fine Friday, is Tom Suing, Tom Suing Consulting. And we're talking about how he helps people transition from, hey, I can't do what I used to do anymore, or I need to get into the workforce.
Correct.
And with differing levels of ability and challenges. Right?
Correct.
We're talking during the break, a little bit before break, obviously. You use some great examples, Tom. Some of them are I'm personally known to me. I had friends that had strokes, friends that had brain aneurysms, people, family members that had a ton of chemotherapy in their life, and they can't do things in the normal fashion, I guess, they can't do things they used to do, or can't, you know, and they can't do them sustained, maybe for a 40-hour work week.
That's
is that a big challenge as well?
Well, that's a concern part-time too. Work? Is the endurance on the job for certain physical things like that? But again, to kind of piggyback what you said about not being able to do things the way that they used to, that's what is so humbling to me about the job that I do, is the way that the people that you're just talking about there, the way they adapt and they problem solve and are able to get the same job done, but they're taking a different path to get there. Mm-hmm. But they're accomplishing the same thing. So the problem solving skills are absolutely baffling to see, like, oh wow, you know, they're figuring things out that you and I and Dave that we'll never have to spend time figuring out how to do, because we're not facing that challenge.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they make really good employees, by the way. I love that aspect of how they operate.
You must have a lot of relationships with a lot of different employers, right? You must find that some employers are more likely to be open to the idea, right?
Yes, absolutely. And then conversely, you know, the other end of that is true as well, is that people are not open to it. I'm telling people recently, I said, you know, the good news and the bad news for me are the same things right now. The good news is that all of my my community employers that I've had, you know, my aces up my sleeve, they're all full of my folks and my referrals, and they're staying put, which is really part of the goal of this whole thing, and part of the goal of rehabilitation is the longevity and the job retention. So that's the good news, is that all of my community employers are used up with folks that are staying put on the job. The bad news is that all of my employers are used up that are full of people that are staying on the job. So those resources are full. And so then it's kind of back to the drawing board and starting over again and developing new relationships with employers out there. That's where the challenge comes in, based on what you just said, is that you do have a group of employers. There's a certain segment of the job market out there that has had a really positive experience. And they'll come knocking on our doors sometimes saying, hey, do you have another this person or another that person? I have another opening. On the flip side of that coin, you've had somebody that has had a bad experience based on a poor match or a poor placement that you have to twist their arm to get them to talk to you because, well, no, I had a bad experience with a person with a disability before and that didn't work out for me, so I'd really rather not do that. Then my question is, how many non-disabled people, how many non-disabled people have you had a bad experience with? If that were the case, you would have nobody working for you at all.
Amen.
It's all about a good match, the skills with what the employer needs, and that's the message that I try to give, and that all of us, all of my colleagues that do what I do, we all try to give that message.
What I like about people in your industry, it's aligned with my belief system. I think Dave would agree with me, is there's no better social program than a good paying job.
Darn right.
Bingo. Yeah.
And to me, and it's not just social program, like, hey, they're not going to be getting public assistance anymore, or, but it's the psyche. In America, it's the psyche in our culture of someone who's standing on their 2 feet, supporting themselves, and the pride that comes with that. And it really doesn't matter the level. If you're an entry level job or this and that, you're paying your own freight, you're paying your own rent, you're buying your own food, and you're buying formula for your kids. Whatever it is, somebody has ability to support themselves. That what that does for a human psyche is amazing. And what it does for our overall society and our community is great as well. So applaud you for what you're doing and taking people who otherwise could not get plugged in on their own and plugging them in. And also, hey, let's give a shout out to the employers that are taking a chance.
So, oh, absolutely. Right? I mean, the list honestly is a mile long, but then there are ones that continue to come back to us. I'm thinking I have... clients that come out of RNS Welding Mentors out in South Salem. So we get certified welders out of there. And Pacific Stair out here in Brooks, they have a handful of my welders and a computer draftsman out there that all are folks with a disability. And they're super employees. They've been there. Some have been over there for over 2 years and going. They're the best workers they've had. They come back to me frequently. Matt over at Cap Toyota really was a pioneer. Had a young man that I'm working with now still that was in a power chair, and the technology that he uses, this kid is a computer whiz, but he's relatively nonverbal. Not totally, but that's one of his barriers there. Plus he has CP. He has this technology, a little silver dot in the middle of his forehead and a receiver that goes on any computer, an interface that plugs in. And Cap Toyota gave him a shot, not because they felt sorry for him, but because they found a purpose and a need that they needed filled. And this kid went in there and transferred from paper onto their database all this warranty information, pulled the trigger and sent it in to the warranty service of Toyota so that Cap Toyota would get reimbursed. And he did all this database stuff. He updated their email list. He went and validated links on their website, all by moving his head around in this virtual keyboard. And he actually worked himself out of a job because he completed all this stuff in such a short period of time that he exceeded everybody's expectations, including mine.
Wow.
So this kid is out there looking for something similar. He did a 2-month volunteer deal with the state of Oregon, transferring information there. I mean, just a whiz.
Nate, everybody loves a success story.
Oh, that's one of very, very many, for
that
sure.
That has to be one of the more challenging cases because he's got mobility issues, right? And you said he's got CP?
Mm-hmm.
And verbal is an issue for him.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And he has what we call a personal service worker or personal attendant, somebody that is there to kind of take them to take care of personal business. They don't do the work for them. That's one thing, if you don't mind my addressing a big misunderstanding
Well.
So this kid, for example, can do anything on a computer that you and I could do, with the exception of pushing the button to turn it on. In almost every case, other than that, he's fine. We have job coaches. I know that you've probably been into a restaurant or something where you've seen a coach that's working with an employee there. And two things that job coaches are not: they are not babysitters, they are not extra free labor. They are very well-trained individuals, and the reason that they are there is because they understand the learning style of that particular person, and they're able to shorten the learning curve for that client or that employee. So when you see the coach there, they're not there, you know, spying on them and make sure they don't mess up. They're there because they understand that learning, and they take that responsibility off the shoulders of the employer. So having that job coach there is very, very good, and they can respond to those questions.
All right, we're talking to Tom Suing at Tom Suing Consulting, and he has a lot of experience in this job development phase, in this role. So he was at Schmeckett for 12 years, and you were at the Salem Kaiser Schools as well, right?
For a brief period with the Youth Transition Program.
So Youth Transition Program, to help us understand what that means.
The Youth Transition Program is for high school students as early as 16 years old. Typically, people that are students that are on an IEP that have some kind of a disability.
Individual Education Plan.
Correct.
Okay.
And then...
acronyms.
Many, I know. Many of them are also concurrently receiving services from Voc Rehab. And that's kind of initially where I hooked up with them. And then they kind of hijacked me from there. And I'm grateful. I will say that the Voc Rehab counselors are among the finest people that I have ever had to work with, because they love what they do. I've never heard anybody say, you know, I can't wait. I've got only 3 more weeks till retirement. I can't wait to get out. They love what they do, and I love them to pieces, and I send a big pat on the back.
All right, I got another question. I want to talk to you about the people that come through your doors, and mm-hmm. also we want to talk about who pays your bills and how this role works. So stick with us. We got another segment to talk to Tom Suing here on Newsmakers 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Len Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues in the Capital Auto Group studios. Here's Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers brought to you by Color Tile of Salem.
Welcome back. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne. It is Friday. We've got Tom Suing of Tom Suing Consulting here in the studio. And of course, we're going to be talking about the volcanoes here before the hour is up. So, Tom, you're putting people in the workforce. I love it. People who have trouble getting back into the workforce or into the workforce to begin with, love it. Let's talk about the range of skills that people that you are working, your clients. Now, let me back up. Who's sending these people? This is the state. Is
these are vocational rehabilitation counselors that are sending them to me.
So they send you as a referral. You try to find the fit. You have relationships both with your clients who are looking for work and employers.
Correct.
Right? You could probably use a longer list of employers that are willing to hire people with challenges.
Oh, always. Always. If they just knew the pool of workers, this untapped resource.
Well, describe for us the range of abilities you're working with. Because
gosh.
Some of them, you've described them as, you know, is a pretty strong picture. Mm-hmm. But you also have people that are really, really smart or really, really physically capable, and they can do a broad number of jobs, mm-hmm. right?
Oh, absolutely. And I have people that are physically limited who are also very, very smart, like my computer guy. But we have... the range of experience. We have caregivers, teaching assistants, general laborers, restaurant workers, dishwashers, bussers, Taco Bell, Wendy's people. Have people that have worked at the school district as teaching assistants or as administrative assistants. I have one young lady who also is in a power chair that spent last summer as a receptionist with Salem Kaiser Schools over at the Student Services Building, answering the phones and farming out calls and greeting people that were coming in. I have a gentleman with a law degree from Willamette University. I have a woman with a PhD that I'm working with. I have, you know, office workers, welders, like I said before. You name it. I mean, it's just the workforce has the same skills and variety of experience that the non-disability workforce does. It's just that most of the employers, or many employers, don't understand that, don't see what we have available. We've got a great workforce available.
Yeah, and it sounds like it's a wide range of abilities.
Absolutely.
And it's a wide range of different type of professions and industries you can plug them into.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so we certainly need good welders. And I mean, I'm always hearing about finding welders is a difficult challenge.
Absolutely.
You get them up, and that's a pretty good gig as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right. And some of these things we're talking, Tom Suing, he's a global career development facilitator.
Good.
Is that right?
Good job.
And a certified employment support professional, owns his own company, had been at Chemeketa and the Salem Kaiser Schools, working with people with intellectual disabilities, documented disabilities. From my own experience, I can tell you I've had an employee that was an entry-level job that had been an attorney that did have a JD, and it was an entry-level job. But and actually, I never got the particulars of why he could not do that work anymore.
Huh.
But he couldn't function in that role anymore, and he had an entry-level job. And he had a wicked personality. Sense of humor. You know, he was a character. But he was great to have in the workforce.
Yeah.
And that could be the next person. That could be your next employee.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I was thinking about this also a couple of weeks ago, where one of my friends who is in construction, had difficulty finding a caliber individual that would do job site cleanup.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people who are willing to work, they may have an issue with PTSD, as you mentioned early in the program. I know some people like that. People with speech concerns, I know some people like that. People that have autism and Asperger's, I'm related to people like that.
Mm-hmm.
But all of these people could be productive workers.
Every single person that comes to me has something to bring to the table. Everybody does. Everybody has a job that they can do, and it's finding the employers that need to have those jobs done, and done well, and done consistently.
All right, so tell us how people can help you.
Oh my goodness. People can help me. They're not helping me. They're helping the folks that we all work with. There's more than one of me out there, but if there are employers out there that are saying, okay, gee, I didn't know that. I didn't know you had this incredible work pool out there, can shoot me an email and I can give them information, let them know who to contact. If they're outside of the Salem area, the Voc Rehab office, I can get that information for them. But they can get email me. This is an easy one. SalemJobsNow. That's SalemJobsNow@gmail.com. All one big old long word.
SalemJobsNow@gmail.com.
Yep. And I will be happy to get them the information they're looking at. Or if they say, I need somebody, I need a dishwasher, I need a bus person, I need an office person, a receptionist, let me know. Because one of us has somebody that can fill that or several jobs.
If we had time today for the listener, there's so many misinformation. You sent us a list, too, of people that employers tend to either have misinformation or a misperception about your clients.
They do.
That people with disabilities are accidents waiting to happen. You should do it only because it's the right thing to do and not because it's the right fit, or they can't do the job, or they cause absences, or may freak out. In the time we have left, I want to answer two questions, so you can divide up how you're going to spend them. How many people are coming through your way that have gone through a reentry program coming out of incarceration or a recovery program? That's one question.
Mm-hmm.
And the other question, I forgot. So let's deal with that one.
Answer the one that you forgot
let's
first?
Let's try not to multitask Brent's brain. Okay.
No, I can say that there's a significant number of folks that are ex-offenders, a significant number of folks that have been through recovery. I don't know a percentage or a number because it's hard to tell. That is such a varying number. But yes, they are certainly a component to the clientele that we help.
Yeah, it's an obstacle. Unfortunately, in Marion County, there is a pretty strong reentry program effort that is, mm-hmm. you know, it's bearing fruit. Mm-hmm. It's bearing fruit.
Well, I think that the final bottom line is that the clients that have a disability are just as competitive, just as valuable, and have just as much, if not more, to offer, you know, or as much as anyone else. They're extremely reliable, and we don't refer them unless they're going to be a good fit. I know that not everybody's perfect, and that there have been mismatches in the past that maybe have soured some employers, but it would be nice if they would, you know, give a second round or so on that to to know some of these folks.
Are there programs for employers that incentivize them to hire people who have gone through vocational rehab?
Yep. There are, I think that one of the big ones is what they call WOTC, the Work Opportunity Tax Credits, which is a federal tax credit program that is available to folks who employ folks from certain targeted groups, people with disabilities, veterans, ex-offenders, some public assistance recipients and things like that, people from certain targeted geographic areas. That is all. So that's something too. If somebody wants to send me an email and say, you know, how can I get information on the WOTC, I have that link very available on my computer at home. I can just plug that in because it's a really, really good program. It's nice to have those carrots out there to dangle. It would be nice if they're hired solely on the purposes of their ability and the purpose that they can serve, but those programs are out there. Places like Target, Lowe's, Home Depot, your big companies already have that particular tax credit system built into their application process.
Ah, interesting.
And then others, we have to assist them and help them with that.
Did he say tax credit?
Tax credit.
I did.
Tax credit for employers. So
unless you're a nonprofit, then you're probably not going to be eligible. That doesn't mean you don't make any money on your business. It means
That's interesting that the big employers will already have those built in and say, are you under one of these programs?
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you have not tried it before and you're an employer, it's worth taking a look into to take, you know, take a chance. And how much could it hurt when you're getting a tax credit on that?
Right.
End?
Yeah.
You get an employee who's possibly very, very motivated to be in the workforce.
Absolutely. But what's going to happen is if somebody's doing it for that reason or think, well, okay, I'm going to help out. The nice thing is you're also going to find out that, whoa, I just made a good decision here. Why didn't I do this before? So if you're doing it because you think you're doing something nice, great, we'll take it. But you're going to find out that you should have done it a long time ago.
Give out that email one more time.
Okay. It would be salemjobsnow@gmail.com.
All right. Well, thanks for being here today. We've been talking to Tom Suing. He's an employment consultant with Tom Suing Consulting, and he's putting people to work and kind of enabling them, actually enabling them to re-enter the workforce and support themselves. Pretty awesome. It must be very rewarding.
They're enabling me to have a great job.
There you go.
That is awesome. Hey, you're listening to Newsmakers. We're going to spend the last part of the hour talking about the volcanoes again and what is coming up. I think we're going to have an announcement that's going to break right here about the food at Volcano Stadium this summer in about 5 minutes. Stay with us. This is Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome back to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne, and it is Friday. We're finishing up your week, finishing up your noon hour. Talking about the Salem Kaiser Volcanoes. We want to remind you that the last time the Volcanoes won the Northwest League, they were being broadcast on KYKN radio.
They were.
That was the last time. You're right.
The next time they win the Northwest League, of course,
it's going to be this year.
It'll be this year because they're on KYKN.
Wouldn't that be amazing if that happened this year?
That would be. Spectacular.
Incredible feeling. It really would be.
I think they call that scientific proof, right?
Yeah.
You know, forget about the cause and causation or any of that. Well, God, scientific proof that it must be true.
Well, there's one season that Jerry Walker, the owner, even tried wearing the same pair of socks every single game to try to break the streak, and it didn't work. Lisa requested that he put clean socks on, but
it probably
it's time. It's
do
time
a lot for ticket sales in that section either. All right, we've got Mitch here in the studio with us talking about Sanum Kaiser and what's coming up. Hey, it's opening day for the pros in just a couple weeks.
Yeah, coming up first part of April. Yep.
And
well, the Mariners have actually already started. They're 2-0 starting off the season over in Japan.
That's crazy.
We're 2-0.
Yeah. Ichiro playing his last game in Japan.
I was crying like a baby last night.
I bet.
Man, what an emotional moment that was.
One of the things I love about coming out here, and my folks were season ticket holders for a long time, is you get to see them move on, and then eventually you see them on TV. Mm-hmm. You get to see them playing at AT&T Park, which is now has a new name for the Giants. And you're just like, oh, yeah, I was X number of feet away from them. I was right in front of them, and they were warming up to bat.
Right? Or they used to talk to me when they were warming up from the stands, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
They
used to hear me when I heckled them about their curveball.
The miracle of minor league baseball.
Right, exactly. You get up close and personal with them. You kind of follow them all through their career.
Yeah.
All right, Mitch, I got a question for you.
I have an answer for you.
You got things to talk about, but so you go out there, and there is some sort of amusement happening on the sidelines between innings sometimes. And people go out there in this little contest. There's a race. There's, I don't know, something just to distract us and keep us interested.
Something.
We're still going to have that?
We're going to have lots of that, yeah.
Okay.
We're going to try to elevate it a little bit more, but that's part of the fun of baseball is because it's not all about action. You got in between pitches, you have in between innings, you have relief pitchers coming in, you have all those different things, which I guess in a sense is like a timeout in basketball or football.
Right.
But there's so much downtime, and for that 2.5 to 3.5 hours that they're there, it's our responsibility to entertain them and give them that value. So yeah, we're going to have all kinds of little fun things. We're not ready to announce any of that stuff yet, but there's definitely going to be quite a bit of that.
But they keep it clean. They keep it clean. They're always good family stuff.
It's wholesome family entertainment.
And lots of free T-shirts.
What about the kids singing Take Me Out to the Ball Game?
Is that me out to the ball. We'll have some of that. Mayor Kathy Clark is going to be singing the national anthem on opening day, June 14th.
Really?
She's going to be out there, and she's also throwing the first pitch, which is kind of a cool thing. Guys, I'm excited today, probably more so than I've been the entire year for three reasons. Number one, it's spring. Forget today, the rain. The last week, the weather just makes you think of spring baseball and spring training and opening day. Number two, my kids are on spring break starting today, which is kind of a cool. And number three, my four-year-old daughter and my wife Tammy came down. Sierra, my four-year-old, she came down and had lunch with me just now.
Oh.
And that's the balance of life. We all work, but we all have families and we have our personal things. That work-life balance is just so vital to me. And yeah, she just left me 10 minutes ago. That's why I have such a big smile. Plus, it's spring baseball. Did I mention that?
Yes.
Yeah, I got an announcement I want to make, guys.
Okay.
I know we've been teasing it for a few weeks here, but we're kind of reinventing the way that the concessions operate. I know we've mentioned it, but we're not doing status quo at all this year. What we're doing is taking our stands that are in the inside of the stadium that people have been used to getting a hot dog or a hamburger or a rice bowl or whatever, and we're actually giving those spaces to local brick-and-mortar restaurants. Over the next 2 or 3 weeks, I am going to be announcing probably 4, 5, even 6 different restaurants. The first one I want to announce is Mr. Carlos Pineda from El Patron, right here in Kaiser.
Nice.
One of the most well-respected men. He's an integral fiber in this community with Chamber and Community Watch and his church and just everything. That man is just, he's so gracious with his time. Plus, the quality of his food is just absolutely incredible. So,
what do we have?
He's going to be doing his street tacos.
Oh.
He's going to be doing his burritos, which you see half the time at the Chamber greeters. He serves them there.
Oh, that's,
and he's going to be doing a very large taco bowl. So you're better to do 3 items excellently as opposed to 19 items adequately.
So true.
He's going to do the 3 best things that he knows. Yeah, very quickly. That's the key. Lightning speed, as we say. So, and the second one I want to announce is he's local to Albany, but this year, the Kaiser Citizen of the Year in the Albany market is a guy named Chris Reese. He owns a sports bar called Southpaws. And I think he has 3 or 4 locations right now. He's going to be opening brick and mortars here in Kaiser and in Salem as well. And his first foyer up here is going to be in Volcano Stadium. So he has 4 pizzas, including the Volcano Pizza. he's going to be serving his pizzas there. And a smooth operator, top shelf all the way. His team's been down there. Starting on Monday, they're going to come in and start the build out of their space. And all these vendors, when they come in, I want the fans to feel like they're actually going into the restaurants. So that same emotional connection that they have when they go into the brick and mortar, they're going to have that same visceral experience when they come to Volcano Stadium. So those are the first two that I want to announce, and we're very excited already. The fans, I've heard from 15, 20 people just in the last 24 hours about how excited they are. And I know that Carlos has had many people stopping in saying, hey, congratulations, great move. It's a great partnership for both of us to have.
So, Mitch, I'm going to ask this question, which is a softball.
Okay, I like softballs. I'm going to hit it out of the park.
How many other minor league ballparks are doing this concept?
That's a good question. I've managed to talk to probably 6 to 8 different presidents and concession people. They're all doing something different than this. I can tell you that. So in a sense, this is quite a bit out of the box. If it works, there might be other teams that kind of clone this and try it in their own ballparks. If it doesn't, then it's been great having the show. We'll see you guys see on the street.
All right, before we get too deep in this. you have some tickets to give away from opening
night. Yeah, absolutely. I think today, because this is an exciting time right now with what's going on at the offices, I want to give away 2 tickets to Jerry and Lisa's owner suite upstairs, the VIP suite, which is right center, right overlooking the home plate. It's the best spot in the whole house. I want to give away 2 tickets to whatever number caller Hunter decides.
Random, not random.
Let's do a random, yeah.
503-393-1430. 503-393-1430. And Hunter will answer your phone, and maybe you'll be a winner.
Look at those lines. People are loving Volcanoes this season, aren't
they? Instantaneous.
I love it.
Those suites are cool. I got to tell you, if you've got a family reunion coming up, or you know, you've got a business appreciation event, you want to take your staff out, to rent those things is pretty cool.
It really is.
And affordable, right?
They're very affordable. But there's not going to be any VIP suites available this season because businesses are going to have them all bought up.
Oh, man.
So you're not going to be able to come on a one-off and just say, hey, I want to come on July 4th and rent it. They're all going to be sold. At least that's the goal. So
for the whole
ask
season?
Me in, through the whole season, sure.
Wow.
Because when you rent it, you get it for an entire season. So.
All right. Looks like we're going to have a winner over there, and they get their free tickets. All right. Food. So two of the first food vendors.
Two
so,
so
we got
far.
Volcano
yep.
Pizzas.
I'll have 2 more for you next week.
We'll
just keep teasing this out.
Mexican food coming out there and local vendors. I love it. All right, so different ways to see the ball game. We talked last week about groups, of course, being so important with, hey, if you've got a Cub Scout group, if you've got a Boy Scout group, Girl Scout. Are they Girl Scouts anymore? I can't remember. Anyway, you got a group.
It's called BSA Youth. America now, actually. BSA America.
Bring them on. And Little League, of course, and all the youth sports groups. And heck, we'll even let soccer people buy tickets, right?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Hey, I got something else I want to announce.
All right.
Yeah, I got tons. We have 2 hours, right? Mondays typically has been kids 12 and under free. You contact the office, and we give you a little voucher. This year, we're going to take it up a notch. We're going to continue to do 12 and under for free on Monday nights during the entire season. And what they need to do is just go into a local McDonald's. I believe there's 10 or 13 local McDonald's in the Salem-Keizer area that are owned by the same man, same family. And then just go in there and ask them for the voucher. They give the voucher to the 12-year-old or under. They bring it to the ballpark. They exchange it for a ticket. They're in. That's it. Free.
Wow.
12 and under. So I think there's 4 or 5 Monday night games during the season, which is a pretty incredible deal.
Yeah,
how fun.
Yeah.
Especially if you've got 4 or 5 people and kids that are 12
and under.
Now, Brent, you can't come get a voucher, bring some kid off the street to get a voucher, and then bring it in and get it yourself. You can't.
I have to be able to pass for that.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to have to go. Well, Mitch, it's always a delight to have your energy here.
It is. It's always fun, guys.
We're looking forward to the season progressing.
Hey, yeah, me too.
You've been listening to Newsmakers. Have a fantastic weekend.
We got about 30 seconds.
We got about 30
stretch,
seconds.
Stretch.
Well, good.
It's Friday.
I guarantee you, you're going to see me out there at the ballpark more often.
Well, you guys are going to get a group outing already. We've already worked it out with Mike to have you guys come out as a group with your spouses and friends and come out and kind of hang out upstairs.
Upstairs? I was just going to ask you if we're beyond the left field wall, the home run
porch. I don't think I've ever been upstairs.
You're going to be upstairs in the owner suite. We've already worked this out. You are.
Oh,
yes.
That's special.
That's 3 announcements today. Man, I think I overstepped my boundaries here. Next week, I'll have 4.
4?
Okay? I'll have 4 announcements.
Guaranteed?
Guaranteed.
Okay.
It's going to be a
Mitch,
fun season, folks.
Always a pleasure.
Have a great weekend, guys.
Reigniting the fire.
All right. We'll see you guys Monday.
This has been Len Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Cheryl, spring is here and it's time to stop talking about toasty toes.
Okay, let's talk about how our crews work on